Before we get started with today's episode, I would like to notify you of a name change real quick. Now, this podcast was formerly called This Week in Science, as you probably know. I'm now changing it to The Weekly Science Podcast. Again, that's The Weekly Science Podcast. I'm changing it to The Weekly Science Podcast. The reason why I'm doing this, or the reason behind the change, is because there's another podcast called This Week in Science, which I was actually not aware of. And to prevent future confusion, I am changing the name of my podcast to The Weekly Science Podcast, or in order to make sure that my podcast is easily differentiable from the other podcasts, so everyone knows which is which. So I just want to notify you that I'm very sorry of the change. I know it's an inconvenience, but I just want to get done to prevent future confusion, and I will be notifying everyone else everywhere so that they know of this change as well. Anyway, let's get on to the episode. Another SpaceX launch. The astronauts that will be flying aboard SpaceX's Dragon capsule have been announced. A new study disagrees with Elon Musk's theory to terraform Mars. AI makes another advancement. NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary, and much, much more on this episode, episode 12 of the Weekly Science Podcast. SpaceX Mirapuda mission. Another day, another SpaceX launch, or so it seems. And this time, SpaceX will be launching the Mirapuda, a geostationary communications satellite. This launch, taking place at Cape Canaveral, Florida, is scheduled for 1:18 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time launch on August 7th, or the day this podcast is released. SpaceX will be attempting to recover the first stage on the drone ship, Of Course I Still Love You, as a standard practice by now. Now, more on the satellite. The Mirapuda, formerly known as the Telkom 4, is constructed by SSL. The satellite will be managed by Indonesian telecommunications company, which I hope I'm pronouncing their name right, PT Telekomunikasi, I believe. It is the successor to the Telkom 1, another telecommunications satellite currently stationed in space. Another interesting fact about this launch is that this launch will be the first to use the already flown, Block 5 Falcon 9 booster. The source for this was Spaceflight Insider. I will be watching the launch, and I will be giving you a rundown of it after it has happened on next episode of the Weekly Science Podcast. Astronauts to fly with SpaceX and Boeing announced. On the morning of August 3, 2018, nine NASA astronauts were assigned to four commercial crew flights aboard the spacecraft made by Boeing and SpaceX. Astronaut Eric Boe, Chris Ferguson, and Nicole Mann will be aboard Boeing's Starliner for its first crew flight test around mid-2019. John Cassata and Sonny Williams will be aboard Boeing's first post-certification mission. On SpaceX's Demo Mission 2, inside the Crew Dragon will be Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley for their first mission. Those on SpaceX's post-certification mission will be Victor Glover and Mike Hopkins. This is absolutely awesome. This is really taking it to the next level for SpaceX and Boeing, and especially for SpaceX. This is the first step of many, you know, and this is such a huge thing for both companies, and this will be the inaugural human flight for SpaceX. And obviously, SpaceX's core mission is very much involved with human flight, so this is a great step forward. I will keep you updated when these happen sometime next year, and I will keep you updated with any other updates. The source for this was NASA. Can we terraform Mars? A NASA-sponsored study now claims we cannot terraform Mars. That is, we can't change the environment in order to make it more habitable for humans to live on the red planet. The study, published in Nature Astronomy, says it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to increase Mars's atmospheric pressure to the point where it would be safe for humans to roam without a special suit. The study cites the fact that there isn't enough CO2 to increase the atmospheric pressure at dramatic levels. It says we would only be able to increase the pressure from 0.6% of Earth's pressure to 7% of the Earth's pressure on Mars, which is still gaping 93% gap from Earth's pressure from Mars pressure, even at a terraform state. This seemingly foils SpaceX's plan to terraform Mars, but Elon Musk doesn't think so. Musk took to Twitter saying that there was enough carbon dioxide in the Martian soil to terraform it, if only they could release it. Also, the study admits that there could be that terraforming Mars could be possible with future technology, so it's not outright impossible, but with current technology, they think it is nearly possible. The source for this was Futurism. TESS is on. NASA has now turned on the TESS spacecraft, allowing it to begin its search for otherworldly planets. The spacecraft, called the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, will scan the universe for thousands upon thousands of exoplanets, some of which could be habitable. TESS uses transit photometry, which in simple terms, means that it watches distant stars to see if there are any dips in its light. Those dips could potentially mean that an exoplanet is orbiting around the star, and when it passes around its quote-unquote sun, it blocks out the light partially, hence the light drops. It is the same technique used with the Kepler craft, the craft which TESS will be succeeding. It will transmit data back to the Earth in sometime in August, which could reveal many more exoplanets that we don't yet know about. TESS's mission is scheduled to last for about 2 years, but Kepler and other NASA projects have lasted much longer than their initial missions, so the same scenario could be with TESS. The source for this was The Independent. TESS is on. NASA has now turned on the TESS spacecraft, allowing it to begin its search for otherworldly planets. The spacecraft, called the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, will scan the universe for thousands upon thousands of exoplanets, some of which could be habitable. TESS uses transit photometry, which in simple terms, means that it watches distant stars to see if there are any dips in its light. Those dips could potentially mean that an exoplanet is orbiting around the star, and when it passes around its quote-unquote sun, it blocks out the light partially, hence the light drops. It is the same technique used with the Kepler craft, the craft which TESS will be succeeding. It will transmit data back to the Earth in sometime in August, which could reveal many more exoplanets that we don't yet know about. TESS's mission is scheduled to last for about 2 years, but Kepler and other NASA projects have lasted much longer than their initial missions, so the same scenario could be with TESS. The source for this was The Independent. Mars at its closest. On July 31st, 2018, Mars was at its closest it had been since 2003. At its closest during the event, it was just 35.8 million miles, or 57.6 kilometers from the Earth. At that time, at 2003, Mars was closer than it had been in roughly 60,000 years, and now the same thing is happening again in 2018. Unlike lunar and solar eclipses, which you could only view in certain places when they occur, you can see this event anywhere in the world, or you could when it happened. This event happens when the two planets, Mars and Earth, are roughly at the same spots in their orbit, and the Sun also has to line up for this to work. This is generally a regular occurrence with these things lining up, but Mars isn't always up so close when this happens, and this is because of oscillations in both planets' orbits. This is predicted to happen next in 269 years. The source for this was Futurism. Rocket Lab finally gives us another launch date. A few months ago, Rocket Lab, which is a small rocket company based out of the U.S., was scheduled to launch its inaugural commercial mission. However, after suffering from many delays and rocket acting up, they said they would review everything and release another launch date. And we waited for a month. And finally, they have done just that. Rocket Lab has now said they will launch its, quote-unquote, its business time mission in November this year. Also, its Atlanta XIX mission for NASA will follow in December, so this is going to be a big end-of-the-year thing for Rocket Lab. I cannot wait for this, as they are probably one of my favorite rocket companies just behind SpaceX, so I definitely will cover this when this happens later this year, so stay tuned for that. The source for this was Rocket Lab and the Rocket Lab blog. And last but certainly not least, NASA turns 60. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration, which was founded in 1958 to combat the Soviets in the space race, is currently the biggest space organization in the world. NASA has funded many important projects over the past six decades and has made extremely important discoveries critical to our understanding of space, and has funded multiple companies vital to the industry today. It has landed human on the moon, brought us the Kepler telescope, played a critical role in the construction of the International Space Station, and made state-of-the-art rockets such as the Space Shuttle, the Saturn V, etc. Happy 60th birthday to NASA. It is now 6 decades old. And that is it for this week's The Weekly Science Podcast. Again, the name change. I know it's going to be hard to get used to for the next few weeks, but I promise, you know, you'll get used to it. And I also did change the thumbnail, by the way. Just want to throw that in there. Again, I only did this to differentiate the two podcasts because there is another This Week in Science Podcast, which I did not know about before a few weeks. Until a few weeks ago. But remember, it'll be the same exact content. Now, if you are wondering why this episode was so short, and if you're thinking, wow, he left out a lot of episodes today, well, I'll tell you why. So, obviously, I'm posting this on a Monday, and I normally do this, I normally post this on a Friday, so you can already tell something's up. Now, I did go camping for the weekend, which is the reason why I couldn't get this podcast on a Friday. But then I decided, you know, I had to do it today because I could not miss this week because there's some pretty important things to talk about. However, though, I could only fit in so many articles as I did have many things to do today, which is Monday as well. So I couldn't fit in all 15 articles. So I had to pick about the top 9, I believe. So don't worry, those episodes that I did not talk about today, but were scheduled for today, I will talk about on next week's The Weekly Science Podcast. Now you can follow me at TWI Sci Podcast, at TWI Sci Podcast, or you can email me any of your questions, comments, concerns. If I miss anything or anything about that, you can email me at TWI Sci Podcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating if you love the podcast, and I will see you in the next episode of The Weekly Science Podcast.